Well, good morning. 9:04 a.m. on Tuesday, April the 29th, 2025, here on a mostly blue sky morning. On the high plains east of the Rocky Mountains in Greeley, Colorado. It is allegedly 40 degrees, and I believe it's probably correct. But the wind is coming down off the snow-capped Rocky Mountains and bringing with it really chilling cold this morning. My nose is running. My fingers are cold. Nose is cold. The sun is warm. The sun is quite warm. My back is really, where I was heading westward on West 20th, the sun was shining full on my back. It felt wonderful, except the wind was blowing right in my face. And it was it's cold. Hi, good morning. It's a really nice day. I missed yesterday. I got my timing filed up. It was a grocery run day, and I got snarled up in traffic. I got my upper body workout yesterday. Let's just put it that way. Lugging groceries around. I got quite a walk in too. Cruising through the aisles. I got a few steps yesterday. They weren't any of them here walking. They weren't any of them I would want to record, but yeah, sorry. I just fiddled with the microphone, probably tapped it. Fishing in my pocket trying to find a tissue because my nose is falling off here. So yeah, yesterday got screwed up, but I did my laundry, I did the groceries, and I did my writing. So I had four things that I needed to do yesterday, and I got three of them done, and the one I missed was a walk. So, yeah, here I am. And it's not two in a row, but I only missed one. At my current level of consistency, every other day would be a step up from every other week. I'm gonna sneeze now. Sorry about that. Not a full-on dad sneeze, but darn near close. So yeah, I did my writing yesterday. Today I have to do the walk, the write, and bread. It's a bread day. I'm down to the last slightly stale crust on the last baking. And need to do it again. I'm still reading the compendium, the box set for J.J. Green, Space Colony 1. And I have to say, after giving it such faint praise the other day, I have to say it's kind of growing on me. There's still a lot of... I don't know if I want to call it choppiness or what. Stuff happening that seems... odd. And the way the characters relate to each other, the way they go from hot to cold, instantly, like bang. The almost cartoonish bad guys. And then I have to take a step back when I make a statement like that, when I think a thought like that, and I have to step back and think of cartoonish bad guys and Malachi Vagrant. Yeah, speaking about cartoonish bad guys. And David Burnside, oh, even worse. So I think I have to sort of like step back from that and think real hard about the story and why, over and above the fact that I have it, and all I have to do to read the next book is just flip the page. Over and above that, why am I still reading it? And the answer is, the story is still intriguing. The story is still, okay, what are we going to do now? We've had another catastrophe, as one does. So what are we going to do now? And maybe that's a key. Maybe that's an element. The catastrophes come bang, 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 bang. So constantly, it's that constantly rising stakes thing that bugs me about a lot of commercial fiction. Oh, well, we have to have conflict, which means we have to have people fighting, which means, well, not really. At least the characters are fighting a little bit the environment. It's at least a component, which, given the nature of a generation ship arriving at its destination after six generations of journey, of people who lived not their life, but whose kids lived that life involuntarily. It was, this is the life I was born to, which is an interesting question. It's like, how much do we live the lives we're born to without necessarily considering that perhaps that might not be what is the best use of the limited time we have, which is, I think, interesting. It might make an interesting question. Should I think maybe I might want to write a generation ship, which I really don't want to do. I have so many other space stories to tell about the Western Annex. So I caught up on the comments on my blog post from the first of the month. And one of the questions was, what about Maggie Smith? Maggie Stevens. I'd love a story about Maggie Stevens. And it's like, you know, Maggie Stevens, of all of the suggestions that have come across my desk, I'm ahead of the bubble on that one, because I think Maggie Stevens is a compelling character. I think a lot of what she must have done, what must be going on unseen under the surface of the Western Annex for it to be operating the way that it does, for there to be the forces invisible and perhaps benign, perhaps indifferent. My stance has always been indifferent. My stance has always been the core world's planets, as parents, overseeing their offspring without trying to impose their own values on said offspring, even while the core of CPJCT is in fact being directly derived from some core world sensibilities. And that the interesting place there is not CPJCT, although I spend an awful lot of time writing in it. The interesting place there is the toeholds. Come up on it, get ready, stay with me. Won't post. Caught in my own cable. Morning. So I'm still playing Enshrouded. I took on the challenge yesterday of playing my single player game, my local single player game. So no server, nothing that operates behind the scenes, nothing that fills in the gaps when I'm not there. I really should go feed my goats on the servers, but and my yaks. But interesting challenge. When you log out and come back in again, the game resets. So, except for the things that you create, the machines you establish, the crops you plant, the trees you plant, those don't change. Things that happen inside your defined spaces never change. Unless you're logged in. And then crops can grow, and trees can grow, and shrubs can grow, and all the rest. Food cooks. Potions brew. Metal smelts. But on a server, some of those things actually happen even when you're not logged in. They just happen in the background because it's part of the server. executing server stuff. Zones do reestablish themselves periodically. There seems to be a bug that mining activity, when you dig in the ground and pick up ore, or dig in the ground and pick up soil or whatever, it doesn't reset on the server unless the server resets. Or if it does reset, it's on an extremely long, days-long cycle. But I've actually had to resort to dropping a server and restarting it on occasion just to get my resources, my ground-based resources in the Albanese summit to reestablish itself themselves. So it's interesting. I suspect that might be a glitch that will get corrected in the next release, which is coming out in a couple of weeks. I can't say this, I'm really looking forward to the new release. I'm not a real big fan of, okay, we've got this really tough boss mob, so let's make the next one tougher, and we'll make the next one tougher, and we'll make the next one an order of magnitude beyond that, and then the next one is even worse. And it's like, at some point, you know, I suppose, if they let me improve my skills as well as forcing me through ever more dangerous landscape, that would be okay, I guess. That's my problem with Eve. Eve Online has this mantra with no risk, no reward. The greater the risk, the greater the reward. And it's true. It is true. It's absolutely true. The greater the risk, the greater the reward. The problem is the correlation between risk and reward growth. So it's twice as risky, but only 10 or 15% more reward. And it's like, you know, you do that from high sec to low sec, and you do it from low sec to null sec. And wormholes are just an extra layer of difficulty, an extra mechanic layered on top of all of it. So it's just not worth advancing. And as a result, you have people who just don't advance. You have gameplay that gets pretty stale. And you have, because it's PvP, you have players whose big goal in life, their good day, is making as many people have bad days as possible. And it's why I go, I finally went back to single player. It's why X4 Foundations actually is much more like the game I want to play. I have NPCs that I have to beat, and they get, as you go along, they get progressively more difficult. They scale a little bit, I think. In ARK, they scale. So the higher you go, the more difficult things we get. The further north you go, the more difficult things get. You can at least sometimes choose not to fight. At least in single player. And on a server, it's a whole different matter. But yeah, I pretty much had my fill of PvP. Just because it seems like there's enough of that in real life. The zero-sum factor just drives me batshit. But it's an interesting question. How do you keep somebody engaged in a story where they don't wind up doing the same thing over and over again? How does Ishmael stay involved when all he does is pick it up here, take it out there? The answer is that's not all he does. But I think that's a problem I have with Roger Mulligan at the moment in the cat. It's like he runs, he makes breakfast, he makes lunch, he makes dinner, he does the laundry, he takes care of the house as much as the house takes care of him. And that magical world doesn't really show in this book. That's a problem. That's an interesting insight. I might like to think about that a little bit. Good talk. Anyway, I'm almost back. Willow sisters looking very green this morning. Their hair waving in the breeze. My maple tree has lost most of its catkins. It's got a lot of little helicopters and a bunch of green leaves. This grandfathered cottonwood on the corner is going to have a bumper crop this year, probably. But today I have done my walk. I need to get some bread going. I need to get my riding sprint set up and running this morning so I can sprint while I'm making bread. That would be a good use of time. And with any luck at all, being as how I'm at the back gate and everything, with any luck at all, tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.